Hi, I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss!
You're listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. What's up, Team PopX?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Oh my gosh, we are back live. It's been like way too long. That was like a three-week hiatus. We can't be doing that all the time. You know,
right? I missed you guys too much.
I miss you too, Lindsay Badger. How have you been?
Doing okay. But you know what? We get to see each other next week. We get two in a row.
This is true. This is true. And I remember,
so
actually,
we're going to catch up.
I'm pretty excited about that, actually. Austin Burke, you kind of had a fun time when you were away, right? I can't hear Austin. Is he muted? Austin, are you muted? Is Austin muted?
I can hear you.
Oh, wait.
Can you hear me now?
No, I got you. Yeah, that was actually my fault. I'm manning
it's
up. Okay, Joe. I'm owning it. I'm owning
it's
okay. I'm sorry.
I love you.
I'm sorry, Austin, let me ask that question again.
Okay.
You were somewhere very special the past couple of weeks, weren't you?
Joseph, I came to Orlando and we literally, it was nonstop laughter. And your poor wife.
Oh my God, dude.
Poor Alex. I still apologize to her and I hope she's gotten some sleep ever since.
Oh man.
That was awesome, man.
It was fun. Awesome. It was good times. It was really good times. I'm glad you guys come down here. I'm glad we got to show you the void and take you to Disney Springs and get bit of Blue Man Group in there.
Dude. Disappointing at all.
And you know, what's kind of strange is I actually got to hang out with Mike yesterday. Mike Ippolito, the man, the myth, the legend behind the, is it over here, the screen over there, or is it over there, or is it, I feel like the Brady Bunch. I don't know what's going on.
His name was Joseph.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, guys, you ready to get this show kicked off? I know I am.
Let's do it, man.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live here in the PopX.live chat room and over on Facebook Live as well. Come hang out with us and join the conversation. PopXcast.com.
Hello. I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review if you so choose.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I am Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okie. If you missed episode 76, where we threw down on Avengers Infinity War, gave you all of the great spoilers, our thoughts, and even as much geeky goodness that you could shove into an hour, you need to go check that out if you missed it. And also, while you're at our official website, popxcast.com, you can check out that episode and all of the other ones that we've done for the last 2 years. You will not be disappointed checking all that stuff out. Before we dive into all of the goodness for tonight, I wanted to give you guys a quick rundown of what to expect for this episode. In most episodes in the future, we always like to give our viewers a little bit of geek news. So we throw down on a news flash, get you up to date on all of the geeky headlines for the week. And then if, like tonight, we're going to be talking about a movie, we always throw down that spoiler warning before we start diving into the good stuff that gives you guys a chance to enjoy a little bit of PopX Cast. If you haven't seen the movie yet, go watch the movie, come back, watch the replay, and give us your thoughts on what you liked about the movie.
Like a glove. I like it. All right. Well, you know what? It's that time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and roll that news footage. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. PopX News coming to you here in just a sec.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Mike Ippolito with the SNL love. It's funny, we were just talking about Saturday Night Live, the old stuff, like season one, two, and three.
The good stuff. I love the good stuff. God. The throwback. Yeah.
He always brings a tear to my eye, that guy. I love him to death. Again. All right. Yes, yes. All right, so we got some really cool news this week coming to you right now. This is actually our friends over at Treyarch just got, I don't know if you guys are in the know or know anything about it, but they just released this brand new awesome game. It's called Call of Duty Black Ops 4, and wow. This is their newest title. Now, it's in a long line of Call of Duty games where it was unveiled on May the 17th. Now, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is the latest release in a long line, continuing a 15-year run since 2003. Call of Duty will be the first ever game. Now, this one in particular, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, will be the first to not feature a campaign story mode. But what? The driving focus to its brand new zombie story multiplayer modes. And it's going to be a traditional multiplayer experience where they're going to expand on the zombie storyline, and they're going to be introducing an all-new feature called the Battle Royale, which is a massive open-world exploration, last-man-standing type match. You get to clan up with – I mean, it's like in the whole city. You can be in the water. Yeah. You can be in the air. You can take over. I mean, it's like crazy. Wow. So Treyarch also stated that due to the intense graphic output of the new title, it will not – be releasing its title on Nintendo Switch. Because we're looking at some footage of it right now. I'm kind of hyped for it, to be honest with you. So I say bring on some Call of Duty. I mean, as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Call of Duty. So
I just can't believe they're on Black Ops 4. My goodness.
I know, cow. Right? I know. It's like, well, you think 15 years, man, the daggone legacy is just, it's been crazy how they've just continued on with the franchise.
People just love shooting Nazis. And zombies.
Dang Nazis.
And all the other things and stuff. Right. I personally don't like it, but I know that it's a favorite of a lot of people. Clearly, they still love it. So yay for them for keeping it going.
Well, it is. I used to love Call of Duty. I played all the time. I haven't played a lot recently, but it was fantastic when I was younger. And another thing that I used to love and still do is Deadpool. So 20th Century Fox's Deadpool 2, you like this, broke one record on Thursday night, and now it's slashed through another. The box office totals for the film as of Friday night have been revealed by the studio, and Deadpool 2 has now set the record for the best opening day for an R-rated film with $53.3 million. Deadpool 2 just barely beat out Warner Brothers It for that slot, eclipsing its total of $50.4 million. And today, as of very recently, the total estimates have come out for the opening weekend. And the final tally before you get that extra 10 or maybe a little bit less is 125. So as of now, it has not passed the first Deadpool with 132. It just fell a little bit short. But keep in mind that Avengers Infinity War actually was estimated to be at 250, and ended up coming out at 258. So give or take 8 million, Deadpool 2 could still end up passing Deadpool 1 when it comes to the final tally on Monday. Wow. So we just have to wait and see. But as of now, it's just a little bit short. What do you think about that, Joe?
You know what? Actually, I'm not surprised. I mean, considering the summer that we're having with definitely, I mean, can I just say, I mean, it's a crazy summer for films. And it's kind of been strange to see Disney roll out Infinity War, then right after that, Deadpool, and then right after that, Han Solo, and then right after that, we have Jurassic World. I mean, it is just crazy how the movies are coming out right now. And yeah. I guess it's the year of cinematic glory, if you think about it.
And I mean, so far, most everything has been really good. So if we can keep on this trend, then it's going to be one of the best summers ever in movie watching, for sure.
And we got a comment over in the chat room. Hey, did you guys hear about Hasbro purchasing Power Rangers? We actually did hear about that. Me and Mike were talking about that over. We were walking the Hollywood studios, and Mike's like, hey, did you hear about Hasbro and Power Rangers? I'm like, yeah, I think we did. But yes, we did hear about that. So what does that mean in terms of, I think Power Rangers is coming home to Disney, correct? Is that right?
Well, I don't know what it means for movie plans. Because I know they were kind of pushing for a sequel and then they weren't. And now there's been talk of a sequel again, but now the Hasbro has the rights. And I actually didn't mind the first Power Rangers movie. And I think if they can fix some things that they messed up in the first movie, that it could end up being a decent series. So I don't know what that means in terms of movies, but it's an interesting purchase.
I think the first one was actually one big giant ad for Krispy Kreme donuts.
Now that it definitely was. If they can take her name out of it, just kind of shove her over here, I think it could be better.
Yeah. Go over there for
a minute. Just leave her because she's a little
move right.
Just move that
she's a little much.
She's crazy.
Speaking of moving over, shall we shift on to the next one?
Yes, we shall, my dear.
All right. Well, DreamWorks has been busy in the animation television world. It has revealed the cast of the upcoming Netflix original series, DreamWorks She-Ra. And the Princess of Power.
Wow.
It's set to be released globally in 2018. She-Ra and the Princess of Power is the story of an orphan named Adora who leaves behind her former life in the evil, is it Horde or Horde?
Horde.
I figured, okay.
Hordak. You're getting into the world of Hordak.
Hordak.
Yes. So,
the evil Horde. And then she discovers this magic sword, transforming her into the mythical warrior princess, She-Ra.
She-Ra.
Along the way, she finds a new family in the rebellion as she unites a group of magical princesses in the ultimate fight against evil.
Ooh. You know, I gotta stop you there for a second, Lindsay. There was this Comic-Con exclusive in San Diego Comic-Con. I want to say it's like 2007.
Okay.
I got the She-Ra exclusive Comic-Con limited edition 5,000 only ever made action figure.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's the only time you will ever hear me that owning one piece of merchandise from the She-Ra brand.
Wow. Well, wasn't the whole reason why they came out with the She-Ra franchise was to kind of give the girls a version of He-Man and
you are correct
all of that jazz because it was so big.
You are correct, and I think honestly it worked for a little while. I mean, girls were starting to play with He-Man and Skeletor, and so they figured out, well, if girls are playing with this, obviously there's a demand for girls toys, so let's make She-Ra the Princess of Power, and she rides on a magical steed of, I don't know. It's just craziness. I don't know. I digress.
Yeah, boys' toys were a lot cooler back in the 80s and 90s.
Talking about the reboot, though, I kind of like what DreamWorks did with Voltron over on Netflix.
Yes.
I mean, I think they rebooted that series, and they did a really – now there's even merchandise in Walmart and Target for that Voltron series.
Wow.
So I think if DreamWorks is behind it, I have a lot of faith that they're going to do some pretty good stuff with it. And maybe even finally appeal to the female crowd. So I'm all for that. That's awesome.
Sweet.
All right. So is it me? Is it back to me?
It's all you.
Okay.
It's all you.
Wow. I was just like sitting here looking. I was like, oh, it's Batwoman. Oh, wait, that's me. All right. So this is kind of cool, guys. This is kind of cool. If you've been following the CW crossover events that they've been having the past 3 or 4 years, you know that they are getting ready to brew one up that's going to blow your minds. Batwoman is officially coming to the CW this fall in another superhero crossover event, effectively adding the city of Gotham into the Arrowverse for the first time. Now, said the CW boss, Mark Pedowitz. Now, he added that this will be another full-throttle, action-packed event. Batwoman, a.k.a. Kate Kane, is one of several vigilantes who protect Gotham. Now, the character was first introduced in Detective Comics back in 1956 and was reimagined for DC Comics in New 52 as a Jewish lesbian. Wow. That's interesting. So Kane is a wealthy heiress who becomes inspired by Batman and chooses to put on her wealth and resources towards a campaign to fight crime as a mass vigilante herself in the home of Gotham. Now the crossover event will air on CW this December, right in time for Christmas 2018. So I think effectively, and I also do know that Oliver Queen in this past season has been name dropping references to Bruce Wayne, Gotham, and all of that. So we are definitely, I don't know if we're going to get up to a point where the Batman is going to physically cross over, but it would be cool if we saw something like Nightwing or Red Hood or something like that. I think that would be awesome if we could get up to that. But the fact that Batwoman is crossing over opens up the Arrowverse into a whole new plethora of opportunities. So
a whole new city.
Yes, absolutely. Visit. Yes.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really caught. I've fallen behind on my CW-verse superhero shows, and it's really depressing. I'm going to try to catch up very soon. Are any of you guys caught up on what's happening currently with The Flash or Arrow?
I'm not up current. I think I watched the first two episodes of Flash, and then I kind of got subsided into other things. Keeping up with all of these crazy movies releasing and just, you know, the Netflix series that have been coming out, it's really a challenge to keep everything. I know they're sitting there waiting for me on my DVR. I promise I'll get to them. No, we'll have to do, maybe that's in a slower time, you guys. We can all binge watch it together and we can just recap everything.
Yeah. Well, I think honestly, we had talked about this on a previous show about the oversaturation of comic book shows. And I just honestly, I mean, I can't keep up. No. You know, in a world where it's just so much, I mean, what do I want? We got Cloak and Dagger getting ready to come out in June. I mean, where do you draw the line and what do you pick and choose? You know, so I got to and I just finished up Cobra Kai. I'm an 80s kid and I got to stick with my guns on that one.
That was a really good one.
Well, we're going to be talking about that here in a second. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, moving on, just another thing that we have to put on our schedule for the future. Just under a month following the announcement that a film was in development based on the comic series The Eternals, Marvel has taken its first step forward into bringing the franchise to life on the big screen in hiring Matthew and Ryan Firpo, who wrote Blacklist in 2017, to pen the script, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The Eternals comic book series, created by Jack Kirby in 1976, follows a race of ancient human beings created by the alien Celestials. Now, we have heard that name before.
Yes, we have.
With the intention of them being the defenders of the Earth against their destructive counterparts, the Deviants. The story is reportedly centered around Circe, a fourth-generation member to the group born during the Hyborian Age.
There you go.
Manipulate cosmic energy to give her virtual immortality, invulnerability, and molecular manipulation. Wow, that sounds cool.
Wow. That does sound cool. Wait a minute. I thought Cersei was an evil queen in the Game of Thrones.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I believe you're right.
Cersei. That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, guys, this seems awesome. No. I mean,
this Cersei sounds a lot cooler. I think I would get along with her better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this movie. And the writers that they got, they've been like on people's radars for years. And Marvel just snatched them right up.
Yep.
So I'm so excited.
That just goes to show you, if you have your writing chops and somebody sees it and it gets noticed, you could get picked up. I mean, this is actually refreshing because coming on the heels of what happened with the Inhumans, canceled after the first season, great casting. I thought the casting was on point. I thought the acting and the CGI was great. Mm-hmm. It was just a sucky storyline. It just, oh my God, it was so horrible. And how are you supposed to retain a viewership when you've got a storyline that's
you can't.
I mean, it's almost like you took Howard the Duck and you put it in a blender with I don't know. It's just, what is this? You know, so, it's just a big stinking pile of
gosh.
I agree with
that. Poop. Gosh. Yeah, I said poop on PopX. I'm so sorry.
it's a mouth.
I said it. I swear I did.
Oh,
all right, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, we're bringing back some more retro goodness back into the current day with the Thundercats. Anybody remember the Thundercats?
Thunder. Feel the thunder.
Feel the thunder. They are returning with a new animated show on the Cartoon Network. Guys, check out this artwork for a moment. Can we just...
That is... I have never seen anything like that.
That's not the Thundercats.
That is not on par with what I think of when I hear Thundercats.
All right, let me stop you for a second, Lindsay Badger. I just hear Obi-Wan Kenobi in the back of my head saying, "These are not the Thundercats they're looking for."
This looks like something that came out of like Gumball. Is the people that drawing these Thundercats like the people that drew Gumball the cat and all that stuff?
Feels like Teen Titans Go.
What is happening to my childhood?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. First it was the Ninja Turtles and now it's the Thundercats. Just quit, people. Come on. All right, let's just make our way through this, shall we? All right, so the new animated show on Cartoon Network, per Entertainment Weekly, this is a new take on a beloved property called The Thundercats Roar. The series will once again feature the core group of Lion-O, Tigra, Panthro, Cheetah, Willy Cat, and Willy Kit. The story follows Lion-O and the Thundercats escaping their destroyed home called Thundera and crash landing on a mysterious planet of Third Earth. The team must find a way to make the planet their new home while thwarting various villains, including Third Earth's evil ruler, Mumra. Thundercats Roar will feature plenty of action as well as comedy. Every step we take towards comedy, we take two more towards really cool action scenes and explosions and lasers and action effects. Victor Portwright said, the show producer. Well, anything that has action and explosion and lasers...
I like lasers.
It has to be good, right?
Yeah.
I like freaking lasers.
Lasers.
Tractor
beam.
Show me your lasers.
Just put a freaking laser beam on his head. Call it a day.
You know what? That would be better than the poster art.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I pray that the writers are better than the artists in this case. Oh gosh.
This is what they did with Teen Titans. You guys remember the really good Teen Titans series and then the new thing called Teen Titans Go? Well, there was a really good Thundercats series that nobody watched, I believe in like 2010, 2011.
Great artwork.
It looked amazing. I watched a few episodes and it was
almost anime, wasn't it? Wasn't it along the lines of anime?
It was very much anime and it looked amazing and nobody watched it and they're bringing in and it's for kids, obviously, but you're taking what we love.
This is a whole brand new shiny thing for like, you know, the 5 to 10 range age kids. So maybe they'll take on, but they'll never know the true goodness of the original one.
Thundercats was awesome, man.
I know this wasn't listed on the news, but I did see the other day that they remade Muppet Babies. And if you guys remember our past episode when we talked about it, the cartoons of our childhood, that was on my top five. So you know I was excited. All the good stuff's coming back. Just keep an eye on the market. Awesome. You know that you can start seeing
it's gonna be on the Disney DX channel, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah, it's all CG animated. It's great.
Wow.
All right. Well, this week that was wrapping up the news, but before we do that, we have a hit of the week. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
And now it's time for Pop X's Hit It of the Week.
All right, so Pop X's Hit It of the Week is coming to you all the way from the YouTube series on YouTube Red. Now, I just literally binge-watched this entire season in less than 2 days, and I am talking about Cobra Kai. And Cobra Kai is actually, for me, it was such a blast of the past. And you get 10 full episodes, and they're about 30 to 32 minutes apiece. And William Zabka, who plays Johnny Lawrence, you know, Johnny, you know, he's always the one that's vicious and going against Danielson. And then Ralph Macchio, who is Daniel LaRusso as well. It's a really interesting take. Now, I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but I'm going to give you a little information about it. We follow 34 years after the events of the All-Valley Karate Tournament, and we kind of see the eyes of where Johnny is today and where Daniel is today. And Daniel, you know, he's done well for himself. He's riding on the heels of his success and his championship in winning the Owl Valley tournament. And Johnny, not so much. Johnny is actually struggling to find himself. And in so, he's trying to not only be, now we find out, a father figure, but he's trying to understand who he is as a man and what his goal and purpose is. And so it leads up to this amazing culmination of just a really ongoing feud between Johnny and Daniel. And you're kind of getting that. I mean, the actors in this series have literally, it's no holds bar. I have to give William Zebka and definitely Ralph Macchio an amazing props for doing, just getting back into those roles and so familiar. And I got to tell you, they can both still do the roundhouse kicks. It's truly amazing to see that, you know, even at their age. Cool. And they're so fit. It's in tune, and it's really, there's a lot of homages to Mr. Miyagi. There's a lot of homages to the original first three films. And so you're going to really step back. The music, the flashback scenes, everything that was redone has got that 80s retro feel. So you're going to be feeling like you're right back in 1984 again. The music, the Walkmans, it's just crazy how they do that. And then you get a little nice blend with millennials today and how they are versus the struggle back then. You know, you got kids with their iPhones today and you got Johnny with his Walkman, you know, back in the day. So you get the kind of a really nice blend of both the 80s and the modern era. Mm-hmm. And so the culmination of the battle, it kind of gets up to a peak. And as we see, their children and the ones that they are training take on the limelight for the role of Johnny and Daniel.
Awesome.
So this is a great series. It does have some language. So kind of be on the ready for that, even though it does have teenagers and kids in it. So just be ready for that, because Johnny is just Johnny and he's no holds bar, which is another reason why I like it, because it's more real. And so if I was going to rate the series, I definitely want to give this series a solid 8.5 out of 10. Awesome. Because it was, I don't know if you've seen the reviews on it. It is that good.
Yeah.
And the cliffhanger in episode 10 at the end is going to leave everybody with their mouth like, did that just happen? And so it's going to be awesome. So they've already set it up for season 2. I think it's already been approved for season 2. So definitely check it out. Cobra Kai is right now playing on YouTube Red. And it is fantastic. Have you guys seen, anybody here seen Cobra Kai?
I haven't. I believe the first two episodes are free to watch, though, if you want a taste of it, I guess. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that whenever they may still do those roundhouse kicks, but you know, off screen, they probably taken an Advil being like, oh my God, I'm too old for this.
Well, I got to say, though, even though it's 34 years after they done their roles in Karate Kid, just seeing these two back on the screen and their love for knowing that the fact that they created a pop culture icon.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they know that. They know it's that Karate Kid is etched its place in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So they know that, and they are catering to that crowd. And awesome. They are just firing on all cylinders. It's amazing. So
that's fantastic. Awesome.
Definitely check it out. So, all right, so we're going to head on in now to the actual show topic, which is Deadpool 2 spoiler review and more. Ladies and gentlemen, you did hear me correct. We talked about spoiler. Don't go nowhere.
That's right.
Danger, danger. You are about to enter a Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return.
You have been warned. Yes, you have. So, all right, guys, this is it. This is for all the money. This is for all the marbles. This is it. Deadpool spoiler review and more.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh. You know what? We're gonna go in a cool order tonight. I want the man, the myth, the legend, the one who reviews movies like a boss on Stardust, the one who just has all the glory and the action and the just cinematography. Dude, just take it away, Austin Burke. Tell me what you think. What do you think about it?
Well, since you're stopping me, I got to start off with. No. So Deadpool 1, I thought was great. Fantastic. Like right in my top 15 comic book movies of all time. Just fired on every level as a movie, as a comic book movie, with the references, with the humor, with the timing. I thought it was great. So going into Deadpool 2, I was a little nervous. I had heard not mixed things, but more people than I expected were like, it's not, it just doesn't measure up the first one. Like, okay, whatever. So I went in, I laughed my butt off the entire movie. Holy cow. This movie is insanely funny. It's chock full of references, but you guys know that. But the thing that really got me about this film, and we're full on spoilers, so let's do it. He lost his poor woman in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And I was a little bit spoiled on that because I actually heard a rumor going in that that was going to happen. I'd heard some people talking about it YouTube, and they were like, this is a rumor, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. And then it happened in the movie. I'm like, oh, my God, they did it. I didn't think they would do it, but they did it. But that causes this, like, this line of emotion throughout the entire movie, something that I didn't really expect. It's a Deadpool movie with more layers than you expect. And I believe, I mean, the first one gave us that with the incredible, one of the best relationships I've ever seen in a film. Mm-hmm. And then the sequel, you just take all that away from him and he's a broken man. I mean, you see him in the scene where he has the collar on and he doesn't have his powers. He's broken. He has cancer. He's sick. He's back to the Wade Wilson that we knew right after he was first diagnosed with cancer in the first one. And that's a rough place to be in for a character. But I love what they did with that. And bringing in all of the different characters, the new characters like Cable and Domino and the X-Force, it added so much to the storylines and the characters that we knew from the first one. I think Cable is awesome. Yeah. I love Josh Brolin in this role. Domino really surprised me. I hope she comes back for an X-Force movie. One of my favorite moments in the movie, and I know you guys will probably talk about this too, was we get the buildup of the X-Force for the last 3 months. All right. They're the focus of the film going in, and then they just straight up die within like 2 minutes of being on screen.
Oh,
I have
God.
Never been so shocked and caught off guard in my entire life because that was just so funny and so fantastic. And you forgive Deadpool for that because it's just something that you expect from him, and I love that decision. Some of my favorite jokes in the movie – anything that had to do with Logan or Wolverine, just when the movie starts it's just him.
The carousel playing the music, man.
I just watched Logan, so I was just, for like the 15th time, emotionally wrecked. And then I walk into Deadpool 2, and he's just sitting there. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, and something else that I found super interesting that I don't know if a lot of people paid attention, but where I had just watched Logan, so the music that plays beneath Logan's death when he dies in Logan is playing beneath Deadpool's death at the end of this movie. It's
really?
The exact same music. It's the it's that Western. It plays the whole time Deadpool's dying. The whole time. And somebody tweeted that to Ryan Reynolds. And I was like, does Ryan know that people know that? And he was like, you know, you're the first person that's tweeted me this. But it's absolutely true. And
what?
It is. So just another little thing that a lot of people aren't.
Dude.
And, It adds. See, here's my thing about Deadpool 2, right? When I first walked out, and I still kind of feel this way, in my opinion, comic book wise, I thought this was phenomenal. There's so much in it, so many Easter eggs and so much. And we might get into that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Movie wise, I felt it was a little bit more choppy than the first one.
Okay.
And mostly because the first 20 minutes, I was a little, the editing. And that's not something that everybody's going to look at. Most people don't care about. But to me, it was like, eh. And I was watching it with my friend Mike. And he took the same film classes as me and Moorhead. And he was just like, Deadpool's his favorite movie of all time. And he was looking at me. He's like, I'm not digging this editing. I'm like, I'm not either. But after that first 20 minutes, it starts to kind of come together a little bit. And as I said about Infinity War, Infinity War had so many storylines, and to do it so beautifully, it just looked effortless. And Deadpool, while it started off a little rough, not as a piece of entertainment, because that factor was there from beginning to end, and it was fantastic. But as a movie for me, it started off a little rocky, but as it went on, the more I was getting into the characters, the more I was getting into the storylines, I was like, okay, this has really got me on board now. And I love how they tied everything together by the end. And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I think I like this more than I did when I walked out. And I've only seen it once, so I need to go back and watch it again, because rewatchability factor is a big thing for me. Infinity War, I've watched 5 times. And every time I've watched it, I felt
And that's the thing too, Austin. When I saw it on Thursday night, that was my first. You can't really go on your first impression watch. You have to go on number two or number three.
Exactly.
And so for me, I mean, I'm going to let you get back to it. I'm just saying for me, when I went in, me, Mike, and Alex, we went and saw it last night.
Oh.
And so Mike's going to be stepping up here shortly and giving his take on it as well. But the second time around, I saw so much more stuff, and I saw a little more continuity, if you will, into the storyline. So having a second take on it actually helped me out. But go ahead and continue on with you.
I completely agree with you. I mean, that's the thing about Deadpool 2 is there's a lot to unpack. There are so – when I was doing my spoiler review on my YouTube channel, I was sitting here trying to think of what was my favorite joke, and there were so many just bobbling around in my head, and I just couldn't think of one. And that's the thing about this film, and not just the jokes, but the cameos.
Oh my God.
I mean, Juggernaut's more than a cameo, but then you have the entire team of the X-Men. I mean, things like that thrown in the movie. It, for a comic book fan, no matter how I felt about the editing or the whatever, a comic book fan, I was freaking out. I'm like,
yeah. And we finally got to see Juggernaut in the size and the form he was meant to be drawn when he was drawn in the comics. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, he's like 8 foot tall. He's the exact same height as Hulk. Juggernaut is.
Yes.
And so he's a big dude.
He was fantastic. And the battle between Colossus and Juggernaut, while it was exactly what Deadpool said, a big CGI battle. It was a very fun and entertaining CGI. And yes, that's the thing about Deadpool is, when something is cliched in one of his movies, whether it's the first or the second, he calls it out and says, hey, this is about to be a big cliche, so I hope you guys really enjoy it. And that's what it is. And that's one of the reasons why I can give movies like this a big pass. So overall, I had a freaking blast with Deadpool 2. The more I think about it, I was on the edge. I was like, this is really good. I don't know if it's great. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, it was probably a great movie. And I can't wait to see it again because, like I said, so much to unpack, and comic book movies this year so far for me are 3 for 3. So that's very impressive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Black Panther, Infinity War, and now this Deadpool 2 is just...
You can't get any better than that.
I think I said it. This is the blockbuster year that cinema makes its big comeback. I think, and what is leading the box office right now? Comic book movies.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, look at the trend. Let's go 5 years ago. Let's go back to when Man of Steel came out and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a struggle in the cinema, but now the summer is flooded.
Dominic.
Every summer. Even last year, we had Homecoming and all of that, and Thor Ragnarok flooded with superhero films.
Yeah.
And it's been a great trend. And now as we see, we're getting into the billions now on Infinity War. It's just crazy. I mean, the numbers are there, and the studios now are finding out, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
All right. You want to see this stuff
you
on
like
screen.
It.
So,
and they're good.
It's very good. Good. Darn good. Yeah. Darn good. And it's not crap. And we're not getting Green Lantern.
There was so much of that.
So I'm gonna hand the magic microphone off to Miss Lindsay Badger now and let her take the helm, because I want to hear what she has to say about it.
Well, I did not have the privilege to watch it more than one time, and I was mentioning to Joe earlier, I was like, there's just so much going on with this movie. That you have to like let your brain marinate on all the things that you just saw, because there's like two and a half, I don't know what the runtime is of this movie, but over 2 hours worth of references, Easter eggs, innuendos, there's feels, there's laughs, there's so much just cram packed in there. Yeah. And then it leaves you wanting even more at the end. You are not exhausted at all. You're even more excited to see more. And
X-Force.
I'm one of those people that gets the kicks off of the little one-liners, and I think that's one of the reasons why I love Deadpool so much. You know, it's just like you guys were talking about Juggernaut and how he was finally justified in his appearance and size-wise of Hulk and everything, and he even makes fun of him. He's like, "Hey, big guy, the sun's getting low.
Sun's getting real low.
Sun's getting real low." I was like, dying.
Oh my God.
If you have never seen Ragnarok or any of the Avengers movies where Hulk is present, you will not get that reference. You have to be a true comic book nerd to fully enjoy these Deadpool movies, especially the second one, because there's a lot more grand in there. Now, the first Deadpool movie, I loved it. I didn't think I was going, because, you know, being a sequel, I was hesitant coming into it, too, because you never know if it's, you know, going to meet the expectation, rise to the bar. I feel like this movie exceeded it. Not by, like, leaps and bounds, because that's really hard to raise a bar that's already super high. But I could see a lot more of Deadpool in the future, and nobody would complain about it. To be quite honest.
I don't think
you.
So.
Grandma.
Now, let me ask you a question, Lindsay Badger. What was your hubby's take on it? Because I know he loves and appreciates Marvel movies and DC and all that stuff. But, you know, it's really interesting to hear what his perspective and his reactions were as well. So be sure to give us his thoughts.
He was laughing just as hard as me. I had to classically train him to prepare him for Infinity War.
He has
seen all of the Marvel movies just as I have. So he's on par with all of the references. And he's one of those guys that gets really frustrated if there's a reference and he doesn't get it.
Oh.
He gets really, really upset. So he could fully enjoy this movie to the meanings of everything in it. And, I don't know if you guys saw the music video for the Celine song that's in it.
Oh my God, yes.
Ashes. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
But the way they used it in this movie, I wanted to cry.
It was beautiful, actually.
I didn't know how to react because I just had this in my head of the music video. And then all of a sudden, there's this totally different mood going on with this song.
His girl dies, he explodes and kills himself, and then boom, seeing the Celine Dion, I'm like, this is kind of emotional.
I got kicked in the feels more than I expected to this movie. I really did, and I was just like, I didn't know I was going to need to bring tissues for crying, like, for real. And I love it whenever movies can surprise you like that and take you and catch you off guard. I thought the X-Force team getting pretty much instantaneously taken out was hilarious.
Yep.
Did you guys see the sneak peek of the Brad Pitt?
Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. How could you miss Mr. Brad Pitt?
That was like a shocker right there. I was like, what is this?
It's Brad Pitt.
I was like, was that Brad Pitt? I really wanted to rewind this movie. Like, there was three or four spots where I wish I had the DVR at home to rewind the movie because I wanted to go back to the X-Men room and see all the characters that were in there. I saw like two or three of them, but I was like, there's more in there. I want to see them all.
Did you see the other celebrity cameo, though? He's not only been in MCU, but now he's crossed over into the Fox side of things. Did anybody see it?
I saw it.
Which one?
Exactly. Matt Damon?
The hillbilly guy sitting on the
Matt Damon was one of the hillbillies in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And the other guy was Alan Tudyk, who played K2SO in Rogue One.
Hey. Oh, really?
So yep.
Okay, can I for a minute, because Austin touched on Cable slightly, but I want to dive a little more into this character.
Go for it.
It is so... He almost outshined Deadpool for me.
He is awesome.
Okay. Cable, Josh Brolin as Cable almost outshined Thanos for me.
Because he's just insane,
dude. Costume, his look, his character, the way it was written, the passion that he has as a father figure, being a killing machine and still having that father figure mentality. Oh my goodness. And then at the very end of the movie, whenever the time shift stuff starts happening, oh my gosh.
Awesome.
All the feels.
I want Cable to have his own movie, like right now. Like,
but did you catch one thing though? And Austin alluded to it, and Lindsay, you just alluded to it as well. When he formed the X-Force with TJ Miller, you know, they were doing the casting calls and all that for the heroes. That was Deadpool. But at the end of the movie, we saw the F word, which was family. Mm-hmm. And that is the X-Force. Domino, Cable, Deadpool, you know, a Negasonic Team. Yoku. And so Fire Fists. And so that obviously sets it up for the next one. And we know that Cable and Deadpool in the comics and even in the video game, the Deadpool video game, are time-traveling bandits.
Yes.
They set up the whole world of time travel. They can go back into other X-Men movies and just mess around with characters.
Tear it all
like he did.
I love the end of the movie and all the end credit scenes that they were going through. Oh my gosh.
The best end scene credits.
Hilarious. You know, I did read this later after the movie. the very last, the very, very end of the credits where there was supposed to be a credit scene, they literally had to take it out last minute because it was like
a Disney one, wasn't it?
It was too naughty. Yes, it was too naughty. It was actually, I believe he was supposed to be going back to kill baby Hitler. Yeah. Was the scene that was supposed to be moved. And then you got a lovely surprise song at the end that I'm not going to spoil for you guys.
Man.
So that is what we got instead, which I still approve of. Yeah. I was dying laughing, but it was, you know, there's, yeah.
All right, Lindsay Badger, that was an amazing review, my dear. And yes, I want to hear now from my guy all the way up in Atlanta. It's raining in Atlanta tonight. Mr. Mike Ippolito, make sure your mic's on there. But Mikey, buddy, it was so good to hang with you this weekend.
Oh, definitely. Man. To see this movie together was awesome.
You know, was this our first premiere together, Mike?
Yeah.
It was.
That was the first time.
What?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was sick. Yep. All the feels for you, bubby. All the feels.
You'll have to put it in your friend album.
Oh my God, I love that guy. He's so special. Go ahead, Michael. I won't take away anymore. Mike. Tell me what you thought about it, man. Give me your lowdown.
I want to be quick. It seems like we pretty much covered just about everything. But I mean, it was, this whole thing was just a typical Deadpool mess. I mean, it was to me, it was so much better than the first one. I mean, it was. Just some of the stuff that you can see that you'll never unsee, like the baby legs.
Oh my god!
The other part, the lower half.
Other stuff we'll leave that alone.
The thing that's unmentioned, as we will call it.
Yes.
But so. I was actually surprised a lot of this because I don't know the whole story on Cable. I'd never really followed that part of the comics. But, going into seeing the previews of this movie, it looked like, he was the ultimate villain. And then I got a whole different perspective when I finally did see the movie.
That's what I thought going into it, too.
That's what I expected it to be like. It was great. And it was some stuff that I probably missed because I was laughing from what happened before. So the only thing this movie was missing was this CG'd out mustache and butt chin. That's about all I was missing from this movie. But he took shots at everything. And the ultimate end credits were the best between the first time you've seen Deadpool and Green Lantern. And I mean, he just made it all right.
Yeah. But everybody's looking at a picture. Everybody's looking at a picture of us, Mike, right now from the movie theater, and I'm holding my Deadpool head, and you're just grinning from ear to ear. So, and that's my lovely wife, by the way. If you guys have never met her, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask him. Did you think that the villain in this movie was powerful enough? I thought he was kind of meh, but it was the Juggernaut.
I didn't expect that because you've never really seen anything in the trailer, so I didn't expect that. I thought it was, pretty cool to see him in that form.
Yeah.
It could have been a little bit more, but they did a good job of it.
Yeah,
I thought Firefist was a little bit of a whiny turd.
Yeah. Well, he is a teenager after all. I mean, what else do you expect? I mean, So what was your favorite, oh my God moment, Mike?
That was definitely when he was torn in half and the baby legs, and he stands up to go walks the Cable, and I just actually, I think I stopped breathing for a second. I was just hysterical.
It's just like they took the one thing where he lost his hand in that one movie in the first one, and they just amplified it. Well, let's just lose his whole bottom half and.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
That was awesome.
Your reaction when he did the Basic Instinct leg cross thing.
Oh my God.
I actually stopped breathing.
I couldn't stop looking at you, Mike. I was just like, did that just happen? That was a Deadpool. Yeah. That was his junk. Yeah. Oh my God.
This movie crosses lines and just blows them up. And it's just insane, this movie. And I hope the more they come out with them, the better they'll be. It was great. It was actually so much better than the first one. Because at least, the first one, you get the origin story kind of to it. But now it is actual story to follow. So it actually made it a whole lot better.
Did you have a favorite cameo, Mike?
Probably the X-Men when they kind of closed the door.
Oh, that's
true. They were just like
that was just, yeah.
It's like, we're not here him right just now. Tearing up,
him and tearing up actually them. X's wheelchair. That was hysterical.
Oh my god.
He was racing around the mansion with a wheelchair. That was just great.
Great, another white pedophile statue. Hey, how are you? That's just so wrong on so many levels. I don't know. I digress. So you gave it a good thumbs up, Mike?
Oh, definitely. I love this movie. I definitely want to go see it again.
Well, come back here in a little bit and share with us your score. I'm gonna give my spiel right quick, and then we're gonna kind of wrap things up. Maybe do a couple of Easter eggs as well. But for me, I kind of wish that personally I would have saw a little bit more of Cable's backstory. Because yes, I think we know he's Scott Summers, we know he's Cyclops and Jean Grey's future son, mm-hmm. and all of this, and that he got the virus, and he got a virus that he had to be sent to the future, and where he could be cured, and the only cure was his cybernetic deformities. And so if you saw PopX's recent rewind, we actually did a pretty cool rewind on that, rad rewind. But I kind of think, you know, before the character was developed, if it would have just spent like 5 minutes and just kind of gave us not the complete backstory, because there is a pretty good backstory involving Cable, but just something like, who is this character? Mm-hmm. What is his involvement in the X-verse? You know what I'm saying? Instead of just, all right, so his name is Cable. Well, actually, that's his call name. His name is actually Scott Summers. But, you know, just a little bit of nitpicking.
Is it Scott or is it Nathan? I thought it was Nathan.
Scott Summers in it? Or is it Nathan Summers? I can't remember.
I think Scott's Cyclops names, isn't it?
Scott. Nathan Summers. You're right. I have brain farts from time to time. I can't really.
You know what? I do it all the time.
Yeah. It's the freaking weather, man. It's actually storming outside as I speak right now. We've had eight days of nonstop rain. But anyway, I digress. Going into the theater, though, I think, honestly, I was like, okay, so I've not been watching teasers. I've not been watching all of this. I'm going in with a fresh mind, a fresh eye set.
Cool.
And, you know, I'm not watching. I'm only watched trailer one and trailer two, and that's it. Cool. I cut it off on all, even Infinity War. I went in totally blind. And so, for me, I thought it was a great thing because there were so many things I didn't know what to expect, and especially with the storyline of his girl dying. And like Austin, you hit the nail on the head and with the terminology layers. There's a lot of definitely layers to the film. And I thought it was ambitious, though.
What?
And everything kind of came full circle in the end. And I think that ambition kind of maybe, I don't want to say it was overshadowed, but the ambition kind of, it did come full circle in many ways. And when he got the time device where he was able to go back and bounce around through different areas of time without without the energy source depleting, he's got an infinite energy source. And we saw what had happened. You know, he actually went back and killed himself in Deadpool and X-Men Origins, which was funny. He actually killed himself. And that was not Hugh Jackman reprising his role. That was actually footage from the film, right?
Yes, footage from the old film movie.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. And of course, when he got the Green Lantern script, he shot himself for taking the Green Lantern script.
And he saved Vanessa.
Yes.
She's alive.
She's alive. She went back. The cheese spreader. So,
and it's confirmed as canon, so that's crazy.
Yeah. It's so amazing when you think about everything that was in this movie. There were so many Easter eggs. There were so many. Anybody see the Stan Lee Easter egg?
Yeah, on the building.
On the wall.
I missed it, and I was so mad whenever Joe told me about it. I was like, no.
Well, I think for me, I did think that some of the story and the layers may have, God, I don't want to knock it, but I want to say that it was maybe just a little too much. You know what I'm saying? They needed to be at around a 10, but they tried to bump it to an 11. You know what I'm saying? There was just a lot of stuff there. And I don't know, were they trying to compete with Infinity War with, like, you know what I'm saying?
Storylines and
yeah, I don't know. I want to say they weren't, but it's not the Russo brothers directing it, of course. I mean, we don't get that perfect continuity like the Russo brothers bring. Yeah. But I think it was actually executed pretty well for a Fox film, considering
the action scenes. were fantastic. The action, the director of John Wick. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
yeah, and the guy that killed the dog in John Wick. But that was so funny. The intro for me was just awesome. But I think honestly, one of the greatest things for me, and then we'll get into scores, and we're going to drop some Easter eggs here right at the very end. I loved seeing the black costume. Did anybody notice that?
Yes. When it was covering his...
So when Fire Fist ignites Deadpool and he's on fire,
yes,
his outfit turns black and gray, which is a call to his X-Force original costume, which is black and gray with red eyes. Awesome. They didn't do the red eyes, but it was pretty awesome. That they actually had a callback, a different Deadpool costume from the world. Also, we had a reference to Lady Deadpool. Did anybody notice in the scene down in New Orleans when he was dancing on the bar and had the white wig, the blonde wig on? That was a callback to Lady Deadpool.
So cool.
So it was so cool. So honestly, let's get Mike back up here. Let's share our numbers and let's see. Austin, you go first. Lindsay, and then me, and then Mike. Okay. So
yeah,
Austin,
well,
what's yours?
Like I said, I mean, I loved this movie. It was great. There was so much to it. Like I don't think it's as strong of a movie as the first one was, but I'm very close to it. They're kind of neck and neck for me. I'm going to give Deadpool 2 an 8 out of 10, a straight up 8. And that's actually a little higher than I was when I first came out of the movie. Mm-hmm. And I need to watch this thing like I did Infinity War. I've watched it 5 times. I need to watch Deadpool 2 at least 2 or 3 more times just to catch everything because there's so much. Mm-hmm. But overall, a great movie and just a movie you have to watch with friends.
Absolutely. Nice. Lindsay Badger.
I struggle to put a number on this. I know it's at least a 9, so we're just going to keep it right there.
A 9?
It may go up or down depending on the more views I see, but we're just going to keep it right there. There was a couple of things I had problems with, but nothing to cry about. But it's fun from beginning to end.
That's solid.
It's definitely a solid winner for me.
Good job. All right, Mikey, what's yours?
I'm going to go to 9 as well. I thought this movie was great. Just kind of like what Austin said, it didn't seem to be as strong as the first one, but it held its own, and I enjoyed everything, you know, just about everything about it. You know, just the shots it took at, you know, all other franchises and, you know, other characters, that's what kind of pushed it up for me, and I thought that was great. I definitely want to see this movie again.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mikey is a 9, Lindsay is a 9, Austin is an 8. I'm going to go 8.8 on mine because I think that I think the ambition and the goal and everything was there. And so I would have gave it a 9 or a little bit higher if they would have kind of fleshed out a little more of Nathan Summers' backstory as Cable. But just the fact we got Juggernaut on the screen and just the little cameo from actual James McAvoy and the original X-Men and all of that from X-Men.
You know, I actually enjoyed Colossus a lot more in this movie than the other one.
Colossus was great.
He was not nearly as... I mean, he still had father figure's role, but he wasn't nearly as like whiny, complaining, and micromanaging as he was in the other one. And he brought on the "This is how we do it in Mother
this
Russia."
This is as we do it in Mother Russia. I am not Bratva, but this is how.
I know. I was like, oh, the boys are going to be doing Russian all night.
Oh my gosh! Well, guys, let's see if we can try to do maybe 4 or 5 quick Easter eggs before we have to go off the air. And so I'm going to drop you a 1, and we'll just go in order and stuff like that. So one of the biggest surprises in the movie was actually the split second cameo by the cast of X-Men, which we just talked about.
We did.
Which occurs now. This is the cast of X-Men Apocalypse, which occurs while Wade and Colossus are walking through the halls of the X-Mansion. Now, the camera peers into a room, the main corridor, and we see Beast, Cyclops, Professor X, Quicksilver, Storm, and even Nightcrawler. And if you're really eagle-eyed and you were nerdy enough to just kind of look at the right place at the right time, you only literally get like 1 second.
Yeah.
If you noticed, Quicksilver is even wearing his trademark rock T-shirt, but this time it's Nirvana.
I love that.
Which is kind of setting up because the next one's going to be taking place in the 90s. Ooh. And it's going to be evolved around. That's anybody cool. Notice the name of the mansion where the mutants were being rehabilitated?
The Essex whatever.
Core. Do you know what that? You know what that's alluding to?
Sinister.
Mr. Sinister.
Yes.
Okay. So awesome sweet. Stuff. Austin, lead us on to the next one.
All right. So at the beginning of the movie, Deadpool tries to commit suicide by igniting a half dozen barrels of kerosene. The explosion sends his arms, a croc, a handgun, his utility belt, and his head all careening towards the camera. As Wilson's melon passes, it's still talking in what would appear to be a nod to Headpool. So that was something that I was like,
goodness. Okay. This is the shenanigans that I love with this franchise.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Watch yours, right. Lindsay Badge.
All right. It has already been established before Deadpool 2 hit theaters that Gillian Dennison was playing Russell Rusty Collins, a.k.a. Firefist. However, it's worth pointing out that while his character has been a hero for most of his comic book history, he has also found himself on the side of villains on occasion. Rusty was brainwashed into becoming a member of the Mutant Liberation Front when a villainous strife and his terrorist group broke the young mutant out of prison. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Of course it does. Yes, that is definitely a good Easter.
Yeah. So you can kind of see, you know, how the caretaker of the Exus Mansion was kind of brainwashing the kids. And, that was the weirdest looking dude I've ever seen on screen. My gosh, somebody cast that dude in It too. I mean, he is just freaking weird looking. Did anybody notice that the actor from It was in the movie?
The acid guy.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That's pretty cool. All right, so continuing on, Wade's love of Mexican food in the comics is well known. He loves his chimichangas. In fact, the cover of Deadpool Kills Deadpool number 2, one alternate reality version of Deadpool has chimichanga. He owns a chimichanga stand, guys. And he used to be all out chimichangas early on, but in recent years, and his preference has kind of shifted. Now he's more into tacos. He's even named a French bulldog that he saved to give his daughter the taco dog.
I love the little logo on his shoulder there in that picture. It's got the little chef hat.
Little chef's hat.
Chef pool. Yeah.
Chef pool. All right. So the next Easter egg. When Shatterstar is being interviewed by Wade and Weasel, he states he's from Mojo World. In the comics, this planet is in a pocket dimension that exists outside of what we understand as time. Introduced in 1985's Longshot number 1, this realm is controlled by a twisted being named Mergero. The alien race he belongs to, the Spineless Ones, that was my nickname in high school, their culture is obsessed with competitive reality television a la Schwarzenegger's classic sci-fi flick, The Running Man. So that's
interesting little tidbit. We'll just, right. You know what? We got time. Let's just finish them all up.
All right. Moving on. Next one. When Deadpool is going on about Domino's luck power being so dumb and not very cinematic, he says her ability sounds like a power created by someone who can't draw feet. I've heard that, and that was just so out of left field.
Wait till you read this. This is funny.
That's an allusion to Wade's co-creator, Rob Liefeld, who has been criticized over the years for drawing characters with unrealistic proportions and for being able to not draw feet.
That is awesome.
He, if you look at Rob Liefeld's artwork from that era in X-Force, the feet are just weird. He just, I mean, even the fists are just like, all the characters he draws, their fists are in the same pose.
No way.
I'm not lying to you. It's very strange. But I mean, the proportions too, it kind of looks like you cross him over with like a runway model meets comic book artwork style. Okay. It's very interesting.
It sounds like how they created Barbie, and it's not realistic at all.
Is anything realistic anymore?
Yes, no.
All right, so we got three more guys. Stan Lee memorably appeared in 2016's Deadpool as the DJ in the strip club, but his cameo in this sequel is more difficult to spot. Now, he shows up as a mural on the side of a building during the convoy route scene. Now, we would love to know which artist is behind this huge wall tribute.
Yeah, I want a screenshot of that too.
I do too.
I didn't get to catch all the detail.
Yeah,
was very interesting. So in the comics, Deadpool regularly utilizes a teleporter and refers to the act of being transported through time and space as body sliding. In the film, Deadpool uses a similar term, time sliding. Either X-Force or Deadpool 3 is likely to adapt more of Cable and Deadpool's time traveling shenanigans from the comics, or at least we hope so, because that was
nice.
So
It would be really wild to see them go back to X-Men 1 and just start just blowing stuff up during the Sentinel invasion. Remember in X?
That's awesome. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up Easter eggs tonight very last one. When Deadpool first sees Juggernaut, he rattles off his three favorite comic appearances of his iconic X-Men in adversary. Uncanny X-Men number 183, Thor number 411, and X-Men Unlimited number 12. The Uncanny X-Men 183, Colossus gets in a fight with Kane Marco, a.k.a. Juggernaut, who emerges victorious. In Thor number 411, Juggernaut battles Thor and serves him a beatdown too. Granted, it is the Eric Masterson version of Thor. In X-Men Unlimited number 12, we get a recap of Kane's origin and his connection to the demon Cytorak.
Cytorak, you got it.
You got it.
Look at you.
Point for that.
You do.
We'll also point out that Juggernaut's armor is in the film. The armor in the film takes some design influence from his ultimate look. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so awesome that we do some direct references of original.
Well, that's Ryan comic. Reynolds. That's all Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is not only embodied Deadpool, he's a huge fan of the X-Men comics. And so, you know, he knows his stuff and he knows what comics to draw from and pull from and all of that. And did anybody get the reference when he said, oh, X-Men is just a cliche for 60s modern, what did he call it? Race, which is actually what the X-Men was meant to be because mutants are considered the outsiders, which in the 60s was considered the racism, and so X-Men was written for that purpose, to bridge the gap between race.
Brilliant.
Can I add in an Easter egg real quick? I forgot all about this. This is from comicbookmovie.com, so I did not get this. Ryan Reynolds was not just Deadpool in this movie. He provided the voice and the facial motion capture to Juggernaut.
What?
Yes, that is what I read on comicbookmovie.com. He was voice. It was modulated. But he was the voice and the face, not the body, but the face capture to Juggernaut.
So that is amazing.
Two characters. Awesome.
Wow. That's almost like the what is Benedict Cumberbatch doing? Dormammu.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Dormammu. I mean.
Dormammu.
Yeah. Anyway. How awesome, man.
My God. So what an amazing film. We hope you guys have enjoyed this week's Deadpool 2 spoiler review and more. This has been fun. I mean, I could talk about this movie. There's so much to talk about. And we've only tipped probably 1/5 of the entire film.
Oh my gosh, we could do a part two of this episode.
I'm not lying to you. But we got, like all good things, we got to wrap it up, unfortunately. So, Austin Burke, would you do the honors, my friend?
All right, let's wrap it up. You guys can send me a fax at the Burkinator. I am all over the internuts. And we are also part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to gonnageek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
That's right. And you can find me, Lindsay Badger, everywhere. It's going to be at LR Badger. And if you're looking for more Pop X goodness, if Facebook's not enough for you, you can also find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest. We even have a YouTube channel where you can find more movies. And of course, everything that you ever want, all in one place at popxcast.com. And if you want a snail mail, well, electric snail mail.
Yeah.
Digital. popxcast@gmail.com. If you feel so inclined.
Yes.
I think that's it for me.
And make sure that you check out Austin Burke's amazing YouTube channel and his Stardust profile on this startup. Look at you, man. I'm promoting my cousin.
Hey, we did two videos together when I was in Orlando.
We did do two videos together, man. Awesome. I'm telling you, that video you did of me in the Comic Man Cave.
Oh, my God.
It's all the feels, dude.
All the feels for that, too. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Awesome. But check him out over it's the Burkinator on YouTube and on Stardust. Be sure to check him out. And I, of course, am Joseph Burke, a.k.a. Joseph Burke Arts, all over the internet. And, of course, hats off to amazing Team Pop X as always. Mr. Mike Ippolito all the way up in Atlanta. Take a bow, my friend. Is he around? Oh, look at you. You're welcome. You're welcome, sure. And Lindsay Badger doing an awesome job on the PR. And then Mr. Austin Burke, just all that you do. Thank you for everything. And be sure to join us back here now in on June the 3rd. Now, it's not going to be next week. We're gonna do this on June the 3rd. We're going to be coming back for a solo. So we're going to be actually doing that. And I also want to give the results of the poll. We just had a poll that come out on our Facebook page. We're getting ready to amp up a brand new origin stories. And the results of the poll, are you ready for this? You ready?
Okay.
All right. So the poll was, are we going to do Captain Marvel or are we going to do Negasonic Teenage Warhead? Ooh. Two characters who are current. It was 50-50.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
We're doing both.
Oh, I love it.
So we're doing both. So awesome. That will be coming out on episode 79. So check that out. That'll be in just a few weeks, probably towards the end of the month in June. We'll be doing another origin stories. I love origin stories when we do them.
I love those.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for streaming. We love you guys. And you know what? If you're out in the comic book shop or if you're in the cinemas, get your geek on.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.